There you go.
The meeting is back in session. The next item on the agenda is board, commission, and committee reports. And at this time, we have none. And the next agenda item after that is consent agenda, and we do not have one. The next item is report of other officers. We haven't received any, but are there any reports? Hearing none, we'll move on to the mayor's report. We also do not have a mayor's report, so we'll move on to the manager's report, and there is one.
Thank you, Cindy. Chief Swihart and Mayor Jensen testified before the Alaska Senate on need for our building project to remodel this building, and we will know hopefully later this week if we get anything out of that. Also, the chief is was scheduled and it's been changed to talk about some of the drug trends in Southeast Alaska, but he's been asked to testify on that. Work has begun on the Rasmus Inge Bridge. We've closed the bridge to through traffic, and we'll try to continue to work with the neighbors over there and the businesses to try to do what we can, although there are going to be times that's going to be difficult. The goal is to have that done before Mayfest. Streets crew are doing sweeping and washing streets, although maybe Mother Nature will help us out here a little bit. We're trying to do that from 6 to 8 a.m. daily, but it's the same kind of crew in some sense that's also doing the work on the bridge, so we're bouncing them back and forth based on our ability to do that. We have scheduled a big-time cleanup of Main Street and painting of the crosswalks before Mayfest as well to make sure that happens. We had a little bit of a, scare/issue up at Mountain View Manor. We had a main water line to the facility break. Public Works will continue working with the manor to come up with a plan to basically replace that water line. The hope is to do that early this summer based on other work priorities, unless it does not last as well as we hope it is, and we have to go in earlier. Water Department, there's some new state regulations that are coming through on the water that comes off the backwash that we do when we clean the filters and how we get rid of that. The new permit process is out for public comment at the moment. May have to be in place by midsummer. This will cost us some money. It'll add to our costs related to additional testing and could result in some capital project needs at the water plant to change how we treat the backwash water before it's discharged into City Creek. New recycling program continues to be grow and be a success. We have a current customer count at 952 overall recycling customers, residential and commercial. So big challenge now with that is not just as much number of customers, but volume. As Carl has reported, we want to try to get that recycling number up to near 40%, and it's very doable, but we got to convince everybody and do some public outreaches on information. The new recycling collection contractor, Ruger's Trucking, started service on April 1st, and a big thank you out to Petersburg Indian Association for their past work in providing that service for the community as we learn more and more about what we can do. Couldn't have been done without them, and just, again, thanking them for their help. Rock and Road may restart the work up at the landfill. This goes back to the North Harbor dredge project where we were using the dredge spoils to kind of smooth out some of the facilities up there and stabilize the slope around the metals pile. We're hoping that they can get back up there by mid-April. Weather like this may change some of that, but it's important for us to have that graded just properly so we don't have any issues with water or materials coming off the slopes. The annual household hazardous waste event has been scheduled for the weekend of May 31st and June 1st. Please, everybody, take advantage of that. It's a great way to get rid of stuff that you may not have an otherwise way to get rid of, and you definitely don't want to be pouring it down the sewer. That costs us all money. We have installed a new visitor log up at the Blind Slough Hydro Trailhead. This is in response to some new federal requirements from FERC related to documenting that facilities are also used to enhance any recreational amenities within the project boundaries. So Joe's group will have to turn that log over to them on various occasions and show that there are visitors up there using trails in the facility. Power and Light's also working with Alaska DOT on the Haugen Drive project for new crosswalk lighting, and we'll have to move some poles that are in conflict with the new sidewalks and or the bike path. Bike path being a big key issue, because at this point there's no funding, but we're hoping down the road maybe that can change. Parks and Rec has been working with some local runners to establish interest in a half marathon event. So for those of you that like to run a long ways, talk to Donnie. We have new this year in Parks and Rec, a girls-only basketball program. We have 24 young women participating, so congratulations to them. We are signing up youth for our lifeguarding classes coming up this month, and we're also looking for new lifeguards to hire in the near future to keep the facility at full staff. Sandy continues to coordinate with the Southeast Regional EMS regarding having the EMS symposium here in Petersburg. It's currently scheduled from April 10th through the 13th, so we'll have some folks come into town to practice their skills and learn from each other, and hopefully some of our local vendors can make some money on them. She's also working on completing a study that I've asked her to do on the current ambulance rates and expenses, so we have a better idea on the cost of that program and you know, are our rates set appropriately. We have not, to my knowledge, not adjusted the rates in 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, Sandy? Thank you. So it is something, it's time to look at them. We had 3 search and rescue personnel attend the Managing Lost Person Incident training in Talkeetna. One traveled from Petersburg and 2 were already in Anchorage, so it made it easy. And Susan Christensen, which many of you know her, she is our mapping coordinator, continues to be our mapping coordinator, even though she doesn't live here with us anymore. We have set her up in her new place in Seattle to work remotely. Her skill set was such that we really couldn't do without it, especially during the borough transition when we were remapping everything. And so she is currently telecommuting for us, and we'll continue to do so for the near term to get us through the borough transition, get all of our maps up to date, and continue meeting the borough's needs. Kind of the fun part about it is she can print stuff there in her place in Seattle, and it shows up on our printers here. So technology makes it really nice. And the U.S. Forest Service Resource Advisory Committee, or the RAC Committee, for those of you who are more familiar with that, has scheduled meetings for May 9th, June 6th, and July 19th. I believe they are looking for people to serve on that board. Am I correct, Leo?
Correct.
As they've gone through some changes on who can and can't be renewed on the board. This is important. This is money that comes from the Secure Rural Schools timber receipts. It is then allocated in our region and can be used for, you know, trails and various outdoor type stuff in this area. We're looking at about $176,000 that this committee would be able to allocate here locally. Possibly more. We're waiting for the final report from the feds and then the pass through to us, or from the feds to the state and then the pass through to us, through the RAC group. And all of the Petersburg members' terms end in October, so we will be looking for folks who may want to serve on that board.
How many people?
Leo, how many folks on that board from Petersburg?
3 groups of 6.
Mm-hmm. So, thank you. And that's it, unless there's questions for me.
I do have one question for you. I drove past Skate of Gear at Keto's Cave the other day and then came to the sign that said, "You can't go that way," and wasn't quite sure what to do. And I wondered if you had any suggestions, Carl, if we maybe could do some additional signage there to make it clear whether folks can turn left there or need to turn around at that intersection and head back out.
What location was that again?
Right, we're on Singley Alley. When you come past Keto's, you're stuck there because
Absolutely.
Of the construction.
Yes. We'll make that clear. Sorry
okay.
about that.
I have a question.
Carl. On your water treatment plant, are you thinking now that we can get by with what we have with some additional testing, or do you think we're going to have to go and change the facility some?
It will completely depend on the testing that we do. We're going to be required to do additional testing, which is in the current budget for next year. The results of that testing are what might push us towards a capital project in the future.
Okay, so if we don't meet the threshold requirements, and you're thinking it'll kick us over. Okay.
Right, yes.
All right, moving on.
I mentioned three groups of six for the RAC. That's Petersburg, Cake, and Wrangell, so
okay.
All 18 wouldn't have to come to Petersburg. Thank you.
So locally, just six?
Six or so.
Thank you. Anyone else? Going once, going twice. Moving on to unfinished business, we have an ordinance for second reading, ordinance 1402, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot 3 of the subdivision of Tract B of the Olson subdivision from single family residential to commercial 2 with special limitations. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
What is the motion?
The motion is to amend the official zoning map for service area 1 in Petersburg to rezone lots 3 and subdivision, Tract B of Olson subdivision from single family residence to commercial 2 with special limitations.
It's been moved by Kurt and seconded by Bob to amend the zoning to amend the zoning map and change the designation from single family residential to commercial 2 with special limitations. Is there any discussion?
I still can't support this. It was residential when they bought them. It creeps it over. So that all the arguments about it becoming a buffer don't seem reasonable to me, because there will be residential across the street that will be now next to the spread of this. So I'm afraid I can't support it.
Terry, did you have a comment?
I did. Thank you. I think really valid points are raised on both sides of this one. I've heard as much about this particular issue as any other one over the course of the last week, and there's been a lot of discussion in the community, so it's been a lot. And one of the primary concerns that I've heard from the community about this is now setting a precedent, meaning what's to say I buy a residential lot on Haugen, et cetera, and want to, you know, and it suddenly becomes industrial. I hear that, but I think that is what the planning and zoning is for, and then later on the assembly, I think. It is a case-by-case one, and in the case of this one, I am going to vote for it. Not easily. I've wrestled with this one more than the other issues on the topic. I don't necessarily know if there is a right or a wrong. I hear Mr. Aliberti's points. I hear Mr. Burrell's, et cetera's points. But in this case, I'm going to support it because I think, in the big picture, I don't believe it sets a bad or a dangerous precedent for the future. That's all.
Any more discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Cindy?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
Bales?
Moving on to Ordinance 2014-03, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone lot 4 of the subdivision of Tract B of the Olson subdivision from single family residential to commercial 2 with special limitations. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Kurt moved and Jay seconded to amend the zoning for lot 4. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
No.
Cindy?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
No.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Dale?
So lots 3 and 4 will not be rezoned. Moving on to item C, fiscal year 2014-2015 budget considerations. This agenda item has been scheduled for both meetings in April to provide opportunity for assembly members to further discuss and consider the items. Is there any motion at this time on the budget?
So
can you state your motion?
The motion would be to consider the 2014 and 2015 budget.
In what way?
Can I just read it again? This agenda item has been scheduled for both meetings in April and provide opportunity for assembly members to further discuss and consider the 2014-2015 budget items.
What would you like to help have happen with the budget, Kurt?
And that we adopt the budget.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you for keep the prodding. Keep the prodding. I'll get it out there. Okay, adopt it.
Is there a second? Kurt moved and Nancy seconded that we adopt the budget presented by the borough manager for the 2014-2015 fiscal year. Is there any discussion?
If I may.
Yes.
Just so it's clear, this is not an official budget ordinance approval here. This still has to be read 3 times in starting in the first meeting in May, followed by the public hearing and second meeting in May, final approval, first meeting in June. So this was just put on here to allow assembly members to make any additional changes to this budget prior to getting to that point. So approval here is not the first step in the budget. They tell staff we're not going to do much more to this.
To get consensus.
Yes, ma'am.
So I wanted to preface any discussion with a couple items that I'd had a conversation with Steve asking some additional questions about the budget that I wanted to share both with the assembly members and the public. And much of the conversation about the budget has centered around the amount of money we have in reserves and for emergencies. Currently, we have over $20 million in reserves. That money is being invested, and it is held in reserve for emergencies. In some cases, it's depreciation funds that are allocated to different departments. Though it is allocated to different departments, the Assembly does have the ability to move that money between projects and functions if the need arose. The fund has increased over the last 3 to 4 years by $300,000 to $400,000 every year. Now, it makes sense to keep that money in reserve. I'm not saying that we should get rid of it, but just to let you know that there is money available. There is currently a $3.9 million reserve in the general fund. By policy, but not by municipal code, we wish to keep $3 to $4.5 million in reserve. So in essence, we're only $500,000 away from our maximum that we have set in policy we will keep in reserve. A budget cut of 1% off the top, which was proposed at the last meeting, equals $256,000 and is equivalent to 4 jobs. This doesn't include the costs that might be levied by the state if those positions are PERS positions. We would be required to pay a penalty to the state in that instance. So I just wanted to share that information with you. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, Mayor, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to last week and the robust budget discussion that was going on and hearing sense then from members of the community, first off, I'm glad that everyone has spoke as much as they have. It's important. Speaking for myself, it's important to have these discussions now as opposed to the first week in May when we sit down to be having the first official reading of this budget. Frankly speaking, I think the last week, including the meeting, was good democracy. It's good to hear where people were at, good to hear what's important to members of the community, important to hear consequences of decisions we make. Talking about the budget being tentatively approved for the first meeting in May, I'm in full support of that. I think something I'd really like to see moving forward. Kurt, you touched very briefly on it earlier, the idea of having, whether it be town hall meetings or some other way, in terms of how to address future needs. I know we've talked about trying to increase money set aside for depreciation. I think that is important. There are a lot of expensive items in this community that we want to keep and maintain. I think having community-wide discussions about how to appropriately do that is going to be really important moving forward. And I think, I guess, my approval of the 14-15 budget is in a strong hope that being proactive, thinking 2015, 2016, we can be really ahead of the game so that we can proactively plan for those savings, potentially with what you, Member Wohlhuter, had mentioned, with getting large-scale community input and how to do that. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, if I can. I'm like you. I like the fact that, you know, folks have talked about their concerns and their needs. I really do like that. Mr. Thomason made a really good point with me at the last meeting about the fact that our budget is on a different schedule than is the school's budget. And it really makes it hard, because his is first and ours is second, really makes it hard to make any adjustments. And he came home loud and clear on that one. So at this point in time, it doesn't make much. I think it's wrong for us to make a change, and I wouldn't support any change to the school budget for the coming year. I do think, looking at the crystal ball, and I've had quite a number of telephone calls on both sides of the issue, actually. I'll say that I had a young woman talk to me this morning, said that she was holding down two jobs in order to make ends meet. And she says, whatever you do, she says, don't raise taxes. You know, and I'm just saying that on the other side of the coin. And I think we are going to have to take a look at how we're going to continue to make ends meet. And I was shocked when Joe Nelson told us that, I think two meetings ago, that it cost $1 million for a transformer in this town. I had no idea. If you'd asked me, I'd have said $100,000 at the most. And I talked with Carl. He had me over looking over the water and stuff, and I was shocked at the price of some of what it's costing us to maintain just treated water in the town here. I mean, and I'm saying we have to do that. I agree with that. But, you know, we're going to have to make some choices, I say, down the road, because we've been told that we are going to get reduced state funding, we're going to get reduced federal funding. And I agree with some idea of town hall meetings, and I agree with the ideas involving the public. Exactly how we do that, I don't know. But if you saw it, folks certainly have ideas. We're certainly willing to listen, because we don't have all the crystal ball. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Will the clerk call a roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And Bob.
Yes.
Motion passes to support the budget as presented to the Assembly.
If I may just make it, that includes the school funding and...
Yes. Now get back to work.
Good call.
The next item on the agenda is the Juneau appeal of the Petersburg borough boundaries. Juneau has filed its appeal with the Supreme Court of the Superior's Court affirmation of the Petersburg borough boundaries. Petersburg attorneys will be filing any and all necessary responses in a timely manner.
I can just speak in general. I spoke to Jim Brennan. We were, unhappy that Juneau has chosen to do this, but it's not unexpected. Actually, it costs less to appeal it in Alaska to the Supreme Court than it does to make the Superior Court case. So, I suppose in Juneau's case, it was not a huge stretch to think they would just go ahead and spend the extra money to try to fight this one last time. But don't have a time frame yet. Juneau has filed their appeal. We will file a responsive brief to that along with the local boundary commission, and Juneau will then be allowed a chance to add to the story a little bit, and then it'll be scheduled before the Alaska Supreme Court at some point, and we'll keep the Assembly informed.
And we don't have any idea what that time frame might be?
No. We're continuing to push because, you know, the longer this goes on, the harder it will be for us to back up. And, you know, we're doing a lot of work on this, you know, ordinances as well as mapping and everything else related to the borough formation. So, but that's kind of the, we just don't know when it'll happen yet.
All right. Moving on to new business. The next item on the agenda is Ordinance 1406, an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.50 E9911 Emergency Communications Fund of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. This is the first reading of the ordinance. The ordinance provides for an enhanced 911 system on a borough-wide basis and provides for the continued imposition, collection, and remittance of an E911 surcharge.
So move to adopt.
Second.
Kurt Wallhuter moves and Jay Stanton Greger seconds to adopt the ordinance. Is there any discussion?
I have a question. Is this charge on each line that comes into the house or each number?
I can speak to that. Sort of. This is a charge that is charged currently on every phone number that exists throughout the borough. Chief Swihart actually fixed a problem when he recognized it, that on cell phones often it was being collected and then sent to the wrong community, wasn't being sent here. So AT&T, for example, Juno was getting the revenue from it. We have corrected that, which is double, or Kelly, what was our increase?
I think we were between 400 and 500 subscribers on the books, and there were actually around 1,700 to 1,800.
So we've corrected that, and that money is restricted in the sense that it only can be used for infrastructure and operations related to the E911 system. In the event to be in full disclosure, what we're asking you to approve is just the ordinance. There's not a rate in there. We're currently charging $1 per line. We are expecting to come back to the assembly and request that be raised to the state maximum, which is $2 per line. The justification, and the chief will come in and give you more information at that point. That's not what you're voting on here. But the reason for that is we'd like to use the proceeds from that to help towards the police building. A big part of the expense is the over $500,000 at this point in communications equipment related to making sure that we hit all of the standards we're supposed to, the radio system and the communication system, and the workstations, which are very specialized, that involve E911. So again, that's not in front of you today, but our expectation is to come back to the assembly and request that once the ordinance is approved for three readings.
Go ahead.
Madam Mayor, can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Is that per month, Steve?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so
per month, charge. Yes.
Okay, well, two questions, Steve. Once the system's in place there, is your thinking that we go back and take a look at the effectiveness of it after some period of time of what we're doing?
As far as how the money's being used, or
no, how the system's operating and how the money's being used.
Yeah, it's something. I mean, I take my direction on this one from the police chief as well as the fire group, because we're dispatching for Forest Service and the troopers and fire and EMS. So how well the system works, we hear from a lot of different people.
Okay.
The enhancement E911 is about location. Is when you call in, can we find you? It is really to take it down. It's also all of the equipment associated with that. Built into this budget we talked about previously, we've got 80-something thousand. That's just basically a lot of fixing some repeater issues and fixing some portable radio issues where we were putting a lot of our staff out there with radios that weren't working. So this is kind of an ongoing thing. By the way, the E911 surcharge can be used to fix some of those things. So it's a source of money. We've got it in our minds anyway, kind of earmarked to help us with the building project to try to, get some of that big piece of that paid for. And in a perfect world, we would have been charging this for a while. We would have had built up a bit of a war chest, and when we needed to spend this money, we would have had it in hand. That was not the case. Thanks to the chief for spotting the one problem. The other is the cost.
My second question is, I thought when I read the ordinance, it did automatically go to $2. So I read that incorrectly.
We checked with Kathy. Am I correct, Kathy, that at this point it does not change the rate?
No, it says you're going to set them either by ordinance or resolution. I'd have to read through it again myself.
I believe it said up to $2.
Up to $2.
It set a cap at $2.
So we were, until we knew if you were going to approve the ordinance, we didn't ring in the rate piece of it. But that's a one reading resolution we can bring. So my plan was the third reading of this, if this keeps passing, is we'll give you a resolution and we'll ask for the assembly support.
So that the public understands, we're talking about $2 to every telephone that's in the borough.
Currently charged
up
one,
to $2, yes.
So it'd be a dollar increase, correct.
Is there any more discussion? Will the clerk call a roll?
Herrick.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes. Ordinance passes.
The next ordinance is Ordinance 2014-07, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2014 budget for known changes. This ordinance is in its first reading. The ordinance provides for recycling revenue for scrap metals in the amount of $79,653.04 and an added expense of $20,100 for the curbside recycling collection. And that's due to the new contract.
And this is for the current year budget, not next year's, just to be clear. This is a supplemental budget item.
I move to approve Ordinance 1407.
Second.
It's been moved by Nay. I'm determined to mess up your name, Jay. It's been moved by Jay and seconded by Nancy to approve Ordinance 1407. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes. And Ordinance 2014-07 passes on its first reading. The next item on the agenda is Resolution 2014-04, a resolution designating departments and their functions that must comply with HIPAA, which is the Health Information Portability and Accountability Act. The resolution declares that the Petersburg Borough is a hybrid entity of HIPAA and designates that three borough departments and their functions are most subject to the Act. Those departments are Mountain View Manor, Administration, and the EMS Division of the Fire Department. Do I hear a motion to accept this?
Second.
Kurt Wallhuter moves and Nancy Strand seconds to adopt Resolution 2014-04. Is there any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And Resolution 2014-04 passes. Moving on to Resolution 2014-05, a resolution amending the participation agreement with the Public Employees Retirement System. This is a housekeeping resolution acknowledging borough formation and assigning borough administrative personnel who can execute necessary documents and administrative tasks of the agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Jay moved and Bob seconded to adopt Resolution 2014-05. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
And Kurt.
Yes.
Resolution 2014-05 passes. Moving on to a resolution declaring Saturday, May 3rd, 2014 as a sales tax-free day in the Petersburg Borough.
So moved to adopt.
Second.
Kurt Wallhuter moves and Jay Stanton Greger seconds. Resolution 2014-06. Is there any discussion?
Yes, no. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I just going to say, I want to hear from the person that was going to, Savant, who was going to talk earlier, about the reasoning for May 3rd.
Read my mind. That's what I was going to say.
Come on up, Savant.
Well, thanks for giving me a moment of your time to discuss that. The reason for May 3rd is we always aim for a spring date and we always aim for a fall date. I think as kind of, I actually don't think it says that in the ordinance. I think it says just two tax-free days to be decided by the Borough Assembly. The reason we pick May 3rd is that there are funds flowing again somewhat in our community after having crabbing and herring pounding going on. It is before our tourism hits, which is about Mayfest, kicks that off. So it's a time that we can encourage our community members to get out and shop. They hopefully have a little extra money to do so. And we are not extending that sale into others besides our local community members. Is that... Any other questions or clarification?
Does anybody else have questions of Savannah?
No.
Thank you.
No? Okay, thank you.
Is there any more discussion?
I'm not sure we can afford this. I'm not sure we can afford it. I see all the letters of support, and they say it's a great way for merchants to offer a deal to their they could offer a 6% sale anytime, and I'm questioning whether it should always be on the back of the borough that the sale happens.
Did you have a question?
I did. I've heard a lot from the community about this particular issue, mainly small business owners in the downtown. Those small business owners are local Petersburg residents. Speaking with them, a lot of them, to use some of the art galleries as an example, if myself or any other member of the community goes in there and spends $500 on a piece of art, for instance, not paying sales tax on it on that day. However, that small business owner who is a resident of Petersburg, those dollars aren't leaving Petersburg. They're going to spend that on groceries later on, et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, I don't see, especially given the timing Ms. Guthrie has presented, a time when it's generally more of a local population, at that time, using May 3rd as an example. Short term, we're going to be losing out on revenue that day. Long term, these people and that discretionary money, I think, is reinvested in the community and the long term coffers. I don't think there's a significant negative impact involved with that, and I want to be clear, I'm in full support of the sales tax day on May 3rd because I think it's actually good for the local economy as opposed to bad. It's my two cents.
And I would just add, in talking to other communities, I have to say I was not in favor of this initially when it was presented, and I did vote against it. In talking to other communities, I've heard from other chambers and small businesses that, and we've gotten letters attesting to the same thing, that the tax-free days can be their highest income day of the year, which surprises me, but I will accept that happens, and I'm sure it's a psychological thing, but I think overall it's something that the businesses see as a positive. So I will be willing to vote in favor of it.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, that's why I asked about the time on that, is because it doesn't seem like it's a high traffic time of year, and you may still have people out of town, even locals out of town. So I don't think it would be that detrimental for us to consider it now instead of like during Mayfest.
Any other discussion?
We've asked in the past how much, what the estimate of, and we never get an estimate of how much sales tax.
Well, and I can answer some things for you, too. The October, we saw a lost sales tax revenue of approximately $12,783. So, and also I wanted to put out there that we're ahead in our sales tax revenue by approximately $250,000 this year, ahead of a budget, so...
Well, can I speak to the woman, Nancy's concerns? When I came last spring to bring this before the assembly, and I don't have it on me, I took the amount of the sales tax revenue that was lost, and I reversed it into how much money was spent that day in our community. And I don't have a calculator, and I'm not a mathematician, but I can tell you it's a lot more than $12,000. October, for myself personally, I've been in business 5 years. It was the highest single day of sales I've had in 5 years. And I can give you a couple of reasons for that if you'd like. One was it was the morning of the breast cancer awareness walk. People were already out and about. Number two, PFDs had come in. You know, that in my shop, in addition to the 6%, I offered 20%. So, I mean, there are reasons, and as retailers, we're not just trying to, ride along on the back of the burro. We're trying to take this opportunity that we've been given and make the most of it for us and our businesses and for the local people as well to kind of... get them boosted, and I don't know if you were out in October at all, but it was like a street fair downtown. There were balloons, and there were kids, and there were people everywhere, and it was just a really fun community event, with no specific cause. Well, I guess we're the cause. The other thing I wanted to I lost my thought. Oh well. Does that help at all?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Motion passes for a tax-free day on May 3rd. Moving on to the approval of change order number 2 for the landfill slope stabilization project. Public Works and P&D Engineers is recommending approval of change order number 2. Rock and Road Construction has approved of this change, and the change will result in a lump sum contract value of $546,000, which is a reduction of $46,559.94 from the previous project value. And I'll need a motion.
So move to adopt.
Second.
Kurt moved and Jay seconded to adopt the approval of the change order. Is there any discussion?
It's good we're saving money.
This might be for Steve. Steve, did you understand the reduction for that project? Is it because they've changed the scope of the project, or they've come up with different...
Well, originally we had... Carl, correct me if I get this backwards. We were on a time and materials basis, so they were billing us for actual time. This is a flat rate, so it goes down, but you had the risk of the time and materials could have come in even less. Unfortunately, what we were seeing with all of the issues we had with the North Harbor dredge materials, that the chance of that happening was not great. So Carl renegotiated this as a flat rate rather than a time and materials bid.
Yeah.
Did I get that mostly right, Carl?
That's pretty close, yeah.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say thanks, Carl, for looking after us.
Is there any further discussion? If not, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
MJ.
Yes.
And the approval of change order number 2 for the landfill slope stabilization project passes. Moving on to authorization to send letter to SEPA requesting consideration of the reduction of the wholesale electric rate. During the review of the electric department budget and in consideration of the recommendations made in the 2013 electric revenue study, the Assembly requested a letter be drafted asking SEPA to consider reducing the wholesale power rate to member communities versus issuing annual rebates. And the reason for this is to assist in planning budgets ahead of time instead of having to accommodate at the end.
Yeah, and to not have such a yo-yo in changing budgets. I would so move to send the letter that's proposed.
I'll second.
Bob Lynn moves and Kurt Wallhuter seconds to send a letter to SEPA requesting that they consider a wholesale power reduction rate rather than issuing annual rebates. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Dave?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Moving on to communications. Are there any communications to report? The next agenda item is Assembly discussion items. 14-110, Assembly review and comment to the Borough's draft RFP for a comprehensive plan update. An updated comprehensive plan could address items such as waterfront development, municipal land selections, housing, the visitor industry, quality of life issues, new zoning districts, and development of a harbor master plan. And did you want to speak to that at all, Steve?
May I?
Sure.
We've talked about this at times. This will be paid for, hopefully, out of the Borough Transition Fund, which is a one-time state grant of approximately $600,000 to fund what we call, you know, borough transition issues, the process of changing between a city to a borough. What we wanted to accomplish is we want to redo our comprehensive plan. It has not been updated in a lot of years. We want to add a harbor development plan to the mix, and we'd like to find a consultant to do this for us, is kind of help us through the process. To do this properly involves a tremendous number of public meetings, getting people's input, as well as evaluation of our existing comprehensive plan, which includes zoning and land use. We heard some issues earlier. The challenge is making sure that the RFP is what you want. And I'm speaking to, you know, the borough, P&Z. We've gone through several rewrites of this. I've monkeyed with it a little bit in times and places, and we're getting closer. But I wanted the Assembly to have the opportunity to read it, make observations, make changes if need be, and then would be seeking your approval at the second meeting in April to basically approve this so that we can get it out and advertised and start looking for a consultant to make these decisions. I did include, you know, in my original email some questions about, you know, an evaluation committee. If you haven't seen that, I can resend it to everybody. But it's, you know, a group of people from different parts of the community that would actually evaluate whoever the consultant is that bids on this, as well as be the kind of the driving force on making sure the consultant is doing what we want them to do and focusing on those things that we want them to be focusing on. So, very important process. This is the very early stages, and it starts with making sure this document is asking for the right things.
And is it on the web?
This is not okay. At this point. We can make that happen.
If the public wanted to weigh in.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
I've heard some ideas for different Great. Things to happen sure. in the borough, and it would be nice to make that available.
We can do that.
I've heard the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I have two questions for you, Steve. Yeah. When I read that, one of the questions was, is what, in the particular items that you have in there, is what, how deep How detailed do we want that as a part of the comprehensive plan? There's particularly a couple of them, like the harbor, some of those. What kind of detail are you thinking, or are you thinking to evaluate that as part of the RFP, and or are you thinking about laying it out in here? Then the second question I piggyback in is, of all those items you have in there, if that comes in, let's say $500,000, and it has to be pared back, what would be your priorities?
Okay. You can really break this into two different projects almost, Harbor Development Plan and the Comprehensive Plan. One of the big negatives of our existing Comprehensive Plan is, for whatever reason, it didn't address the harbor, which is our main economic driver. And the comp plan really didn't go into, in my opinion, enough depth. So we really want that to happen. So if we had to basically deal with a comp plan that was just cursory looked at, but that we got a harbor development plan at it, my recommendation would be that should be the number one priority. Okay, that being said, what do I want out of a harbor development plan, first of all? This involves land use. Does the borough, and I mean this in a very broad sense, want to set aside land and say this is for commercial marine activity? Sounds really simple. Sure we do. Now, do you want to enforce it? Meaning, when somebody opens up a donut shop in a piece of property that the assembly and the P&Z board has set aside as marine development, are you going to say, no, you can't open up, even though the property might have been vacant for 10 years? See what I mean? It becomes some very, very tough questions, and we want to understand not only what they recommend and what the community wants, but are we willing to enforce these things down the road? That's a big part of it. Harbor development is also an issue of what are the infrastructure needs we have today versus the future, and that does not necessarily include just Service Area 1. When you talk about PAPKEs and the state dock at Kuprinoff and entrance, some of these DOT things, do they factor into this? Should they factor into this? That's a big part of the conversations that should occur. What's the, my fiscal side comes out. What's the infrastructure impacts of the harbor infrastructure that we have today, and how do we afford to keep it nice so that when it wears out, that we have the money set aside to replace it? I mean, that's a big piece of this issue, particularly related to the waterfront and the harbor. I've heard since I've been here, the issue that the assembly just dealt with on this commercial property and gear storage, this isn't going to go away. And a good land use harbor development plan will deal with some of that, which is we've got a shortage of X type of property. Where should we put it? So, I'm talking all around your question and trying to hit it as much. But, if I had to say the top priority of the comp plan, it's going to be land use, with the harbor being right above that, from a harbor infrastructure development plan, and taking a hard look. What do we have today that we may not need? What do we not have that we're going to need? What's the future? I don't have all my harbor folks here right now, but, what's the trend in boats? Kurt can probably tell us, but from what I've heard, it's bigger boats. So we're going to have to take that into account as we redesign harbors and facilities. Everything from size of the mooring slips to electrical needs, which affects power and light and so on. The other issues on here are nice-to-haves. I believe we have an affordable housing issue here. So having that analyzed and discussed, again, a comp plan is not going to solve anything. What it does is point out the pros and cons and where you're weak and what you might be able to do about it. We've talked about quality of life issues. We heard a lot about that today. Community is not just about the budget. It's about the quality things that make it important, why people want to live here, libraries and museums and flower baskets on Main Street. you know, quality of life is something a comp plan will actually deal with in some sense. What are, because when they talk to people, what are important to people? Is it low taxes or is it making sure that we've got, you know, snow removal done faster? I mean, just examples. So, honestly, I have no idea what this is going to cost. I mean, we just, until we put it out for bid and start to get stuff back, we just don't know.
I just have two suggestions. Sure. One, I think we need to put some priority of the items. There are some really good ideas, really good thoughts in there. Don't disagree with that at all. Just where we want to, you know, where we want to put our emphasis. And my second one is, I think Cindy said the same thing, is I'd really like to see this up on, see it put up on our website so people can comment before we go forward, because I'd like to hear what people have to say about it.
Web is easy and priority is mostly easy. I can put my what's running through my mind as far as a priority, but I can't speak for everybody else.
Thank you.
All right.
Any other comments on that? Yeah, I just
And the next item up, you may also get to speak on. It is the transfer of three marine facilities from the state to the borough, and those facilities are Papke's Landing, Kuprinoff Dock, and Entrance Island Dock.
I can speak in general, just kind of past, but I think this is Assemblymember Lynn's item that he wanted on here.
Go for it.
At this point in time, I can give you what we've heard from DOT. It goes back to a meeting that the mayor and I had in Juneau with Mike Leshkin, who's the, I'm not sure his official title, but he handles the what ports and harbors remain in the state's control, of which these three facilities are in within the borough boundaries and are on his list. The state at this point in time, and this is based on just Mike Leshkin talking to us, wants those facilities, he wants to give them to the borough. We do not have a formal offer letter from DOT at this point. That will come. There was some concern about sending the letter from their perspective until the borough boundaries were settled in court. So now that Juneau has appealed this to the Supreme Court, I'm not sure how that will affect DOT. We will try to find out. But his statement was, it's an all or nothing thing. You take all three, period, with some amount of deferred maintenance dollars, or you get none. Okay. I'm not sure his word is law, but we're going to take it at that for the moment. Eventually, we'll get a letter from them making some kind of an offer and with a dollar amount attached to it that says this is how much deferred maintenance. We've heard, you know, he threw around a number of about $3 million. $3 million will not fix those three facilities. So that's an issue. If the borough, when it gets to that point, chooses to accept these facilities or deny them, I'm sure DOT will come along with a, you know, accept them or else. I'm not sure what the or else is. I suppose they could take the facilities out, or they really can't stop doing maintenance because I don't believe they're doing maintenance now. So,
well said.
Okay. Papke's in particular is an interesting one because it's three different state agencies that are involved. You know, DOT is just the dock. The ramp is DNR, and the uplands is all mental health. So any discussion about that facility will involve some fairly complex negotiations. I mean, I believe the borough could probably choose in the land selection process the DNR portion. DOT has been pretty willing. They would love to get rid of it. Mental health wants to sell us the uplands for, sell the borough for $200,000 or $300,000. So, you know, you have a lot of moving parts. I don't have a letter from DOT as of yet, although we're going to follow back up now that at least the initial borough decision went in our favor. And we'll see if we'll actually get a letter when that comes. Then I get to punt, which is hand it off to the assembly and ask you guys to make some really tough decisions.
Well, based on that, I'd like to weigh in if I could. I have familiarity with all three of them from a professional standpoint. Papke's Landing on the Mental Health Trust transferred in 2010 the parking lot to DNR. So the parking lot area and the ramp is owned by DNR, but the upland, as you say, is up Love. I've got a couple concerns here. One is Kuprinoff Dock was and is supported primarily by Kuprinoff, and I really believe that when we get into discussions of Kuprinoff Dock, we need to have a representative involved from Kuprinoff. I really think as an assembly we need to send them a letter asking the council to, you know, provide, or no, I shouldn't say provide is not the right word, but have designate somebody that we could work with. One. Two, the one up on Entrance Island, I've been there, I don't know if Kurt's tied up there or not, but that thing is in very bad shape, and I think you'd agree with me. My concern there is the liability associated with it. And now I'll go back to Pappy's. If you thought that the harbor here was in bad shape, go to Pappy's Dock. And that's one that if we decide to take it over, that there's a tremendous liability, and it's used a lot in the summertime. That road that went down there was in the 1930s. It's on the Bureau of Land Management. Was designated in the 1930s. It's actually the way they got the equipment in for the hydroelectric plant up there. And by the way, I didn't realize it, but an old timer out there just told me that I thought it was an outhouse, but it's a phone booth sitting right there at the landing. It was done for the three C's in the 1930s there. So it's been there for a while. That particular area has been used by Petersburg. It was a telephone booth to call back into Petersburg when the boats come back in. So, but I'd like to see one other thing. I'd like to see both Carl and Glo make a back-of-the-envelope estimate of what it's going to cost to do that. So we have something that we can use to go back and to work with and make some decisions of what we want to take or don't want to take or how we want to go about it. But I'd like to see a back-of-an-envelope estimate of what it's going to cost to fix that. The dock is the one that's going to be the major one. The ramp can wait, but the dock is in pretty bad shape on there, really bad shape. Last summer, it humped right in the middle of it, and they came back in. The state did came back in. They put a couple boards in between it, and they took the hump out. And I mean, it's really in pretty bad shape there. Anyhow, with that, the other thing I'd like to see is that I would like to see the public's comments on those three facilities, what they think we ought to do, particularly the one on Entrance Island. You know, I don't have any idea how much it's used or whether, and so forth, but it's one that, you know, I would ask that question if we were here trying to debate and what to do with it. But I'd really like to hear people's comments on it. If we could put that up and ask for comments, I would appreciate it, Steve.
Is the one at Entrance just boats, or is it float planes as well?
Just boats.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've been there.
I can tell you when we met with Mike, our first, I mean, the mayor, who's been there as well, said, we don't want this. You know, we'd love to say no and make the state responsible for tearing it out. Then Mike Leshkin promptly said, well, you realize that, and Jody might be able to add to this, that Goldbelt is doing quite a bit of work in Hobart Bay there. And that if DOT gave us the dot, the float, they would actually also give us some land to go with it. They have to hadn't drawn that out yet on Entrance Island. And that, you know, there might actually be some value in that facility being nice, although I don't know who to necessarily. So he showed us a quick map and you know, talked about development. When we were doing the assessments, Jody continues to get, I'm not going to call them building permits, but building notifications, because these folks don't have to give us building permits, of Goldbelt building facilities there in Hobart Bay. So it ended up not being as simple a statement as what we previously thought, which was the thing sinking, please state, will you keep it and tear it out. Now suddenly, maybe it's not quite so simple. That being said, I don't know that it's overly used by anybody, but the person who has a lodge or a cabin, actually on
permit. And that was my next question. I thought that was Forest Service land, because Forest Service does have, that's an agricultural permit is my recollection, because I inspected that in a previous life and was out there a number of years ago.
So it's, and you know, to your Kuprinoff question, we've got in our records, and I can't remember the exact date, but it's in 2009, I mean 2010, so it's not that long ago. The state did offer Kuprinoff that dock, and Kuprinoff turned them down, said no. So, again, a lot of moving parts. I wasn't here at that point, and there's awful good reasons to say tell the state no if they would have offered no deferred maintenance, for example. We don't really in the know as far as why Kuprinoff said no to the state at that time.
Yeah, I just believe they need to be involved in the decision on that.
Yeah. We did ask that because I agree with you. I've heard talk that that's an issue that folks on Kuprinoff take very strongly. Mike Leshkin with DOT was very clear to us, which is they are not going to give it to the city of Kuprinoff, period. They will deal with the borough and, you know, period. So, again, he's not the decision maker. He's important, but
we don't know yet.
Kuprinoff, as the only city in the borough, we need to include Kuprinoff in the discussion.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Steve.
Moving on to recognitions. Is there anyone that has a recognition?
I have here written recognition here that I'd like to read to you if you'll bear with me. And this is to Amber Burrell and with a copy to Jody. Through February, Amber and Jody spent a considerable amount of time to finish and mail property evaluations. At times, I was not sure that they'd meet the deadlines, but they finished and mailed them on or before the date. After those assessments were mailed, I received many questions and comments. Throughout the month of March, I referred somewhere between 30 and 40 property owners to Amber. During that period, I brought to Amber and Arnie's attention some major questions and valuation consistency that property owners had brought to my attention, and I could not explain. I was very impressed with the timeliness, thoroughness, and responsiveness in which these questions were handled. I saw no defensiveness on their part, rather a desire to get it right. There were massive changes made that in most instances were in the favor of the property owner. To date, I have had 6 individuals contact me specifically to compliment Amber. Allow me a minute to paraphrase some of the comments. One individual told me that of all the government workers they had had encountered over the years, Amber is the most responsive and sincere. Another related that they had called Amber for a copy of their assessment worksheet. They said their smartphone beeped about 15 minutes later, and there it was. They related how impressed they were with the responsiveness. 2 individuals told me they were very unhappy because their assessments did not relate to any land that they owned. Both said they were highly impressed with Amber, who sorted out the problems and worked to a solution. One person told me if they were running a business, they'd be trying to hire Amber away from the borough. 2 of those individuals specifically asked me if I would compliment and commend Amber at an assembly meeting. Amber, I want to personally thank you for all the hard work and dedication over the past month. I've come to greatly respect your abilities, and please let me know if you want to apply for the assistant state assessor's position. I'd gladly write a recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
I'm sure that's been a challenging time for everybody, too, and especially the borough staff and added workload. Are there any other recognitions?
Just Diane.
We do have one on our agenda, and that is congratulations to Diane Murph. Diane earned the Girl Scouts prestigious Gold Award, and in recognition of Diane's achievement, Mayor Jensen provided a certificate of merit, which was included in our packet. And I don't think it has any additional. It says, unfortunately, on an iPad, if I flip my iPad to see it, it will continue to flip the document. So bear with me. It says, for your dedication and commitment to serving your community and others through scouting, congratulations on receiving the Girl Scout Gold Award. Congratulations to Diane. And at this point in the meeting, we will close our public meeting and start our executive session.
We need a motion and a second.
Then we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we move to executive session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
The assembly's been advised.